There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast.
On the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Okay.
Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together. No, Marcus?
Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together.
Benjamin!
That is simply because nobody else wants to hang out with us, which is really quite sad. That's Marcus. I'm Ben. Who is this young fellow to my left?
The Prince of Wickedness, Henry Zabrowski.
It's a very tense room today. We had quite an internal beef. Some text message confusion this morning. Very interesting.
I take no part in it.
One could blame it entirely on Henry, and I will. Nonetheless, it is the 12th day of December 12th, and it is 2012, which is a
what
very
is that supposed
day.
To mean?
I don't know.
Do we make wishes on this day?
I've been making wishes all day.
I did too. Yeah, but I would think G Train made me late three times today.
Is that what you wish for?
I cursed at the world.
Ooh, that G Train's going to explode tomorrow or turn into a large rabbit, depending on how you cursed it.
Yeah.
Today we have a very fun
Well, 12-12, as we all know, is double 666.
Double Satan, Satan, Satan.
Which brings us to the great beast 616. 666.
616?
Yes. 616.
Yeah.
Starting off real good.
Great.
The great beast 666, he's the main interest of today's episode, Aleister Crowley.
Aleister Crowley. Mr. Crowley! I like this guy because this guy knows how to fuck like me.
Definitely. I don't know if he fucks like you.
I don't know. I don't really do anything too naughty. But
that's right.
You mean rocking gently back and forth
while you slowly masturbate and cry?
Yeah. While someone holds my hand, I love that. That's my favorite.
It's my favorite part of being your friend as well, holding your hand. Marcus or Henry, whoever wants to take this, just straight off the bat, who is Aleister Crowley?
Now, again, it's going to be very difficult to even begin to cover this man in one podcast. So I guess we can call this Aleister Crowley Part 1.
Yeah, that's right.
The Divination. Or your Part 1, Roller Coaster Through Toontown.
Right, Roller Coaster Through Toontown.
But Aleister Crowley is the leading occultist of all time. He is the creator of a religion called Thelemia, right?
Yeah.
And he is a... incredibly well-known occultist, magician, butt play enthusiast.
Loved anything anal.
Channeled ancient Arabic demons in order to write a famous book called the Book of Law, which all occult thought of the latter 20th century is based on. Was one of the most famous members of a famous occultist group called the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is again just a bunch of scientists butt fucking each other.
Right.
And then went on to create his own organization. I forget what it's called, the A... Triangle S, A, S? Whatever that is. It's
something weird. He was obsessed with triangles. In fact, some people say, I was looking on a message board. Yeah, the hat's great.
Yeah.
But
the hat
I was looking,
that he wears on his Wikipedia page is quite stunning.
It's great. And I was looking in on a discussion board, someone that shows the correct way to read the Book of Law, because most of it's nonsense.
It's hard to read because he did it through automatic writing, and it was like, we'll get into it at some point, but the whole thing is like, yeah, he believed that he was talking to Horace's, I'm going to say secretary, Flanders or whatever his name is. Montgomery Burns.
Smithers
to Horace gave him this book. And it's a lot of just, it's nonsense poetry.
And his hat does look like he folds it similarly to an American flag right before they put it on a soldier's grave.
Can you look up the poem White Stains?
Oh my!
He wrote a poem called "White Stains," which is apparently one of the pinnacles of gay erotica.
Oh wow!
He was quite a ribald one,
sort of the 50 Shades of Grey, but for the male persuasion.
Yeah, he wrote it. Yeah, and it's very similar to Twilight.
Nice. Well, let's get in.
That's his entire work of poetry called "White Stains."
Marcus, give us one.
I'm going to find one. My personal favorite.
We'll do that, and then we'll
oogie,
get it.
Oogie, cum drops. I love them.
Come on the
desert.
And
then the other one, penis. And when life gives you dicks, make them cum in your mouth.
Yeah, make them cum in your mouth.
Oh, they don't have the fart poem. there was a poem that in that in that collection.
The fart poem.
In which he actually... Oh, When Celia Farts.
All right,
that's what it's called. Give me just one second.
He was fun.
Celia wants when Celia farts. We all know that. He was fun. A poet, an artist, an author, really a jack of all.
And again, all right, with the butt play.
Love right, that butt
play. Check it out. I love this poem. When Celia comes, 'tis earthquake hour. The bed vibrates like kettle drums. It is a grand display of power. When Celia comes, when Celia farts, my hasty nose sniffs up, must sniffs up the fragrance from her parts. Shamed are the violets and rose when like Celia farts.
He describes his nose like Roscoe the bedbug dog. Just constantly on the search.
Where's Roscoe?
Where's Roscoe?
Where's Roscoe?
A great local commercial, here in New York City. All right. So what are some of the tenets and the philosophies of the Lemail?
Well, I think before we get to that, I think we need to establish who Crowley is and where he came from.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born in 1875 to a rich family.
Yes.
And
they ran a, what was it, the liquor company, correct?
Something, it wasn't something, no, it wasn't a liquor company because they were strict radical Protestants.
Ah, it's yes, the Triangle but they, Hat family.
Yes.
That's what they
yes,
sold
it. A lot of that was done there.
It might have been liquor, hats. Actually. Yeah, it might have been something like that.
Where they got, and so his father got a large inheritance mm-hmm. and then like became super ultra conservative Christian
yeah.
as he grew up.
And Crowley was down with it. When his father was into it. Like, when his father was alive, Crowley was right there with him and
I
would travel around
thing.
With him.
Because I was the same way. We all grew up, mm-hmm. like, super yeah. religious. And realize after time, it's just like, yes, it's, it's entire piles of reeking bullshit.
Right.
But the best part about it is that it's such an awesome story.
It is.
Yeah.
It's fun to imagine that you're in a building and you're talking to a supernatural mm-hmm. building, and like a being up in the sky, and then you've got, like, a man there
the
who's
Bible,
been stabbed inside. You eat
right.
the meat of his body.
Eat the mm-hmm. meat, drink the blood. The Bible is full of brutal battles. I mean, everybody dies yeah. for the most part. You have
it's
stories
pretty sweet.
Like Samson where you cut his hair. He's a slave. I mean, it's a
yeah.
really...
I loved reading Revelations as a
Revelations
child.
Was
yeah.
phenomenal.
It's rules.
It's yeah. badass.
I want to see a fucking cartoon of Revelations with fucking heavy metal music playing and tits out.
Absolutely.
Hard dicks shooting cum.
You know
shooting
what
cum all
shoot.
Over
shooting
girls.
Liquid
and
fire.
Dragons coming and, like, and raping girls.
That's right.
And the dragons raping each other. And then
Whoa.
Aleister Crowley there, and he's raping himself.
Himself.
There's like four versions of himself, and he's doing a daisy chain with the balls
nice.
On each other's faces, just fucking dragons coming on their ass.
They call that the Crowley necklace.
I want to see that movie.
I yeah. love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, I love that movie too. And
with that Bradley Cooper.
Ah, yes. The sexiest man alive. Although I still think that should have gone to that other fella from the film Drive.
Oh, yeah. And and his family, you know, he was a part of that because his family believed in the literal truth of the Bible. So when
right.
he read,
I love those.
When he read Revelations, he was, this is it. This is truth.
God, that'd be so sweet.
And then when he was a
I
kid.
Wish it was real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when he was a kid, his father died. And his mother was apparently a horrid bitch.
Called him the Beast.
Yeah. Called him the Beast, which is where which
a fun nickname for a kid to have, though.
I would love to have that yep. nickname.
Yeah.
And I was just called the 88 Keys.
Why is that?
You know, because of the... It's just start playing ragtime.
Yeah. And then at... and he said he was quoted as saying... I wanted to sin, but didn't have the slightest idea how to go about it.
Oh, but all you got to do is start rubbing your dick on the bed frame.
And that's here's right. what he did. Nature he did it in the bed. At 15, he fucked the maid in his mother's bed.
God. Great first sin.
Yeah.
One of the best.
He must have been such a sexy little boy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think about it, it's just like all those pictures of him, like, dark and brooding, like, staring, intense eyes. That must be hard for a maid to get over.
He actually was
Absolutely.
A good-looking kid.
He was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's sort of like a DSK type.
Yeah.
He's
and
fucking the maid.
Oh, yeah. And then he went and then he went to Cambridge to study, and then he was expelled from Cambridge for catching gonorrhea from a prostitute.
Oh, come on. It's not his fault. She had the gonorrhea.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was giving it around.
Yeah.
And back in the day, you know, condoms were just like old pieces of sheet metal.
Yeah, they were just rats. They were just
yeah.
shaved rats.
Pieces of wool, like
it's
with
not
belt
good.
Buckles that like you have to cinch over your balls.
I can't believe you get kicked out of university for having gonorrhea. Now you have to have gonorrhea to get into the dorms.
Yeah, especially Cambridge.
This is ridiculous.
All those people missing teeth.
Man, see, this is the thing. His mother abused him, then he gets kicked out of Cambridge for something he can't control. I agree with his decision.
No wonder he turned into a groovy sex scientist.
Absolutely.
Well, here's how he did that. At 21, his mother died, so he got a gigantic trust fund, and he could just do whatever the fuck he wanted, and this is when he
that
got involved.
That must be so awesome.
Yep. And this is when he got involved with the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
What I love about these guys is, again, this is it's a group of, I think, what did we say, but you called them before we started?
I would say faggy scientists.
Faggy scientists. Yes. Playing with alchemy.
And even Aleister Crowley, well, we'll get to that in a bit.
But again, Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is a linchpin of modern occult studies. It started in the late 1880s, which was such a great time period for weird shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, especially because people were so ashamed of their bodies in general, that you really had to go to the upteenth degree in order to go and make sure you get really fucked inside old creepy mansions. And
science
shit
was still sort of equated with Satanism in a lot of ways.
Well, there was also the idea of that, you know, they were very much in touch with the ideas of like the four humors and, you know, like bile and phlegm and all this stuff, that we were like essential energies, and it all connect back to the idea of the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. And if we want to get even deeper into it, it's like it started from the Rosicrucians, which is the group that means the Rose of the Cross or like Red Cross or stuff like that, which if you want to take David Icke's word for it, is a part of the original reptilian bloodlines who use ancient ritualistic magic and symbology and movements and sex rituals in order to manipulate the world.
Well, judging by what you just said, I think I will take David Icke's word for it. That
you know,
sounds
from
great.
Now on, every time you say the name David Icke, I'm going to have a sound effect where it's like a ding or a.
Yeah, sound of that, like the spitting lizard from Jurassic Park. But it goes as far as that. And you have these, and this was a group of dudes that couldn't have butt sex publicly, so they would turn it into sex rituals, and they would do this highly organized, like very similar to the Freemasons, and practice and learn texts and use ritualistic magic in order to affect world events.
Can you go into detail about what some of these sex rituals were?
I couldn't really find any, because you really have to get, because
again, had to be there.
You had to be there. It's hard to describe. Yeah. You couldn't go into the. I was reading one of the manuals, and a lot of that stuff is like very advanced. There are several layers. There's like theoretical, there's magical, and then there's the thing called the secret chiefs, right? And the theoretical and the magical were using philosophical texts of the old like alchemy, and the idea there was a. I forgot the actual term for it. It was the idea
that. Can we define
that
alchemy real quick?
Alchemy is essentially just the idea of turning things into gold.
Yeah,
but like
mostly lead.
Mostly lead.
Lead gold was the bit. Yeah, yeah.
But we're
a charlatan science.
Ah, I see.
It's a fakery, a mockery of a fakishism.
Have you thought about just painting it?
Hey, y'all, how about we just use money?
Right.
We'll Mike money Piper goddamn money or coins. But this was the idea that any matter had an essence that could be changed and manipulated. That's kind of what alchemy was like a part of. And these
sort
were
of like
guys,
what every girlfriend does to her boyfriend.
Yes, okay, yes, good. Yes. You have your boyfriend as a piece of lead. You want him to be gold.
Right.
When it comes down to is your pussy ain't magic.
That's right. Your pussy ain't alchemy.
Yeah, nothing but a big piece of plum bum.
That's all it is.
And then they do try to paint you by taking you to the Gap and the Old Navy and dressing you better. But at the end of the day, we're just big.
You can't change your man.
Nope.
You fall in love with the man that you want to be with. You can't change him to the man you want to be.
Yeah,
that's right.
And there were also a couple of poets that were a part of, like W.B. Yeats was.
But what I like about that, that's a whole nother fucking podcast. The war between Crowley and Yeats.
Oh.
I was talking with this.
I mean, they wrote many scathing poems about each other.
Absolutely. But Yeats, I met this girl and she was like talking to me about this. Yeats wrote this thing called A Vision, which is kind of like talking about how Yeats was the light side of Crowley's idea that, you know, everything was kind of run by evil magic and like about staring to the abyss and like using your secret hidden desires. Is that like you have to tap into that in order to like manipulate the world? He was like, fairies come from the forest, and if you just commune with all the humors of nature,
in fact,
you can make rainbows shoot out of your fucking nipples.
Shut up.
Write a poem, Yeats.
In fact, when Crowley left the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, he was quoted as saying that it was milk and water magic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was. But they sat around and they wore funny hats and they, like, wrote shit down and they did all this stuff. And there's, like, I have a great set of things. What's the my brain. Oh, because the First Order, they do it by like the numbers on the Kabbalah tree.
Okay.
And they, like, it goes 1 through 9, which is the levels that you get in the Hermetic order. Mm-hmm. And the
and the Kabbalah tree is something that's rooted in the Jewish religion.
Yes.
Right. This is what Madonna is a part of.
Madonna, you want to say, but then it also connects into the chakra system, and then it connects into, like, the Tree of Life system, and then it goes back into the reptilians and how they, like, if you want to really go there, and the Kabbalah was there, and, like, how they looked at the world, and they created that was the idea of the self and commune with nature, and, like, the reptilians were part of that. It's interdimensional living.
I can't argue with you. You're making all the sense of the world to me.
I mean, you can't argue with total nonsense.
That's right.
But the,
so let's go back to the
order. Neophytes, which is like level zero. You have a list of five ritualistic. It's these five rituals that you have to learn.
Just going back to 1 second. What were the first three that you were mentioning? Did we get to that? The one where I asked what alchemy was, and you were talking about the three orders that he was working on.
What?
The first that we were just talking about?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. This is too complicated. Let me go on this. You pointed me to the Hermetic Order. I'm going on it. I'm doing it. I mean, I'm doing it. I kept
the
trains out of the fucking station.
I kept trying to bring the horses out of the stable.
But every time I try to, like, bring you back with something about Crowley, let's talk about Crowley again.
I'm in too deep.
Well, let's talk now. Let's move on to Crowley after the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
We could do a whole episode just about the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Yes, we could. But
and we will. Oh god, fucking mic guard. I hate burping into this mic guard because I just smell it so hard.
It is disgusting. I mean,
hachi, fucking machi.
It was really insane.
I ate a bunch of shrimp pad thai this morning.
I have no problem sticking with the Hermetic Order if you guys want to dabble in this.
No, it's too much.
Okay, it's way too much.
The one thing I do want to say before we go back now, so, no,
we're never getting out of this.
No, I'm going to start. I want to start it back up. I want to get a modern Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. We can open our own chapter. I started looking into it.
Okay.
And I want to do it.
How do you open your own chapter?
I'm going to start putting up information on the Facebook page. If people out there want to join me, this is our chance. We will manipulate the world using ancient reptilian sex rituals.
All right.
And this is true. I mean, this is mostly going to be involving you by yourself at home,
mm-hmm,
or with a willing, consensual partner.
That's right.
But again, this was a, you know, I just, we'll start this. I'm just saying, if you're interested, contact me. I'm going to start putting information up there on how we're going to do it ourselves.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to teach people rituals.
That's good. It's very exciting.
Well, speaking of rituals, after he left the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, he started what is called the Abramelin ritual, which comes from the Book of Abramelin.
It's when you put melons in your shirt and act like they're big boobies.
Oh,
and you
go, hold on.
Ooh, have you seen my big old titty biggies?
I like them.
And the book.
Is that it? Is it that? Was I right?
Yeah.
No, I was guessing.
Well, the Book of Abramelin tells the story of an Egyptian mage named Abramelin, who taught
huge tits,
massive tits. I mean, it would be very sad if she was extremely flat chested with that sort of name.
Who taught a system of magic to Abraham of Worms, a German Jew presumed to have lived from 1362 to 1458. The system of magic from this book regained popularity in the 19th and 20th century and, of course, came into Crowley's hands. Now, the ritual that is involved in this book, that is a demon summoning ritual, it takes 6 months to do this ritual.
I love this stuff.
And
what you do is you set up a bunch of cardboard circles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a big metal circle in your hand called a slammer. And the goal is that you have fun little images and all the different like cardboard circles you have in the thing. You slam it down on the gold on the circles.
Right.
The ones that flip over are yours now, and then the rest of them you give to Satan, and you get a hard.
So it's like a satanic game of Pog or whatever?
You said Pogs.
Right.
Yeah. He said Abramelins.
Oh, okay.
It's Abramelins.
Oh, it's Abramelins. Yeah. Okay.
And so he bought a house in Loch Ness in order just to do this ritual.
He just did that to be creepy.
He did creepy.
He didn't have to go to Loch Ness.
He does have to do like,
apparently,
that
I was
money.
Reading about the two is that he became obsessed with Scotland and started dressing in full Highland gear, and that was like his favorite thing. Yeah.
Love it.
Well, it's a demon conjuring spell.
They're dirt people.
I thought the Irish were a dirt people.
Look at both
You're
of them.
Scottish.
Look at these fucking monkeys. They're monkeys. They're barely not. Yeah. They're barely humans.
No, I did listen to the last episode, and I'm sorry. That was one of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life.
And so it is a demon conjuring spell, but the ultimate goal of it is to conjure up your guardian angel.
Okay.
You can conjure up your guardian angel and control it.
Is this where he got the Book of Law from? Is that where the Asius, the Horus's secretary?
No. That comes up a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I this think comes up later. If I ever have a secretary, I will name her Asius. That might be my favorite name I've ever heard for somebody who does my typing.
Yeah. And so he, after about 3 months, just got tired.
I imagine, yeah. After a while, you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah, because you'd have to wake up at 3 a.m. and do some ritual shit, and then do that for about 8 hours, and then sleep
like,
for an hour, and then do more.
How do I fucking DVR this and fucking fast forward through some of the juicy parts?
What are some of the rituals that you have to do?
Yeah, I didn't get that far into it. But if you give up, it said if you give up the ritual before it is done, you will become possessed by one of the demons that you have conjured.
Sure. I feel
like this is the same training
and
that Navy SEALs go through.
It happened. Also, it happened to Lilo, and that's why she's going through so many problems.
Sad. Asius.
Poor Lilo.
Yeah.
And it said that this is the point in which Crowley's true wickedness began.
Cool.
After the ritual of Abramelin.
Now, was it because he gave up on the ritual?
Because he gave up on the ritual.
And this is what happened this morning when I messed up with the text messages.
That's right. It is. That's why you've had a terrible day, Henry.
And so he left the ritual because he met a woman named Rose Kelly.
Hell yeah.
He met his first wife. First of three.
And she had a fucking snapping pussy.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't know because he never actually touched her pussy.
Watch. And it's like a fucking, like two boards slapping together. Wham. And he's like, ooh, I got to get my balls. Open that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
and good for him.
Pretend that he
you know?
Won't talk like that. But.
And so he met.
I always imagine Aleister Crowley just always going like, yeah, oh, you know it, buddy. Get out there, do some magic tonight. Woo! You see that soccer game last night? I fucking love it. When people are fucking, woo! Have you ever tried a fucking taco?
I never have. What's it like?
Oh, you got some meat and some hard bread.
You know, in the early 19th century, early 20th century, a taco was quite the novelty.
Quite foreign.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I just got very dizzy.
I know, of course. Your eyes almost popped out of your head.
That's right.
I got to watch. I am sick still.
So he met Rose Kelly one night, married her the very next day, and they fucked off to Egypt. Which Egypt is where a lot of his stuff from the Book of Law really comes from.
And where the aliens came and put us for the first time, like first planted humankind.
We all know that, Henry.
I'm just saying that again, if we want to add that, I have now been, because of my experiences in this life,
right.
The things that I've learned and cannot unsee, I now can see like all of this historical perspective, but what are the aliens in it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may have contacted an alien.
What do you think? What do you think he said to the aliens when he contacted them?
I mean, he was just like, "What's up, bro? You guys want to get high? You want to do some butt play?"
Right.
And they're like, "We're not sure of this butt play you speak of."
But then they learned to love it.
Oh yeah, because they've been doing butt play all this time.
They need it,
and they didn't know that it was called butt play.
Right.
They thought it was like something else.
Yeah, shaking
they
the hand
it was
of
esoteric
a friend.
Esoteric magic.
Sure.
But it was just fucking. Getting a rock, smoothing it out, rubbing a rock against another rock until it's good and smooth, and fucking shoving up the ass of a monkey.
Yeah. No, I've heard that.
Until the monkey howls a weird way and then, just starts to, you know, rolling up a bunch of, like, grass together and smoking it.
And then the monkey has evolved. Well, that's very nice.
Very nice.
Giving a monkey a fucking clit, a butt clit orgasm.
A butt clit orgasm. Anyway, Marcus.
So they went to Egypt, and they spent their honeymoon in the Pyramid of Cheops.
So romantic.
They spent the night in the king's chamber, which you have to walk through. You have to walk up, you know, a shit ton of steps through all of this darkness.
This is like back in the day where you could walk up to the fucking Sphinx and just like chisel a piece off the Sphinx and be like, I got it, I got it.
I'm British, it's mine. Right.
And they used something, they called it the preliminary invocation of the Goetia. okay. Which is a grimoire, which if you don't know what a grimoire is, it is a demonic book, usually a magic spell book.
I cannot even get my girlfriend to watch a horror movie with me.
That's right.
I cannot imagine getting my girlfriend to go into a pyramid and sleep there.
Get a grimoire.
Get a grimoire.
Right.
And honey, did you remember to pack the grimoire?
No, I forgot.
God damn it! You don't fucking get me!
And then
you
she
don't
goes
get
and she
me.
Gets the
grimoire. We cannot grow together unless we're bringing our evil spellbooks when we're sleeping on the stone floor of an ancient burial tomb.
Oh, yeah, Alistair, I love you.
I know you want a DVR next Iron Chef. All right? But we got to do this first. I need to talk to Thoth about my creative magic.
That's right.
So after they finished the ritual, Rose went completely blank-faced, and she kept repeating over and over again, they are waiting for
they
you.
They are waiting for
they
you.
They are waiting for you.
They are waiting for you.
And then he asked,
and
who?
He's like, shut up, Rose. I'm trying to fucking sleep. It's already hard enough to sleep in here. There's no bed.
Yeah, yeah.
There's bats everywhere.
And when she asked, who? Who is, when he asked, who is waiting for me? Horus, the Egyptian dog god.
Yeah.
And so he is very skeptical of this entire thing. He,
yeah,
he doesn't,
because like broads don't know anything.
Well, you know.
I mean, he's all known by Egyptians.
What are you talking about, brides? These brides talk about Horus. I got to go back to fucking dodes.
They got a family dog, though. It's very adorable.
And so he decides to test her. He takes her to the. I love this story. He takes her to the British Museum. She walks in. And she immediately starts running through all of the exhibits, just running past everything. And
what I love is that she walked past all these other pictures of Horus.
Yeah.
And she's just like, stupid woman.
Right. And then
she must have been wild about my balls last night.
And then sure she stops at exhibit number 666.
Satan, Satan, Satan. Mr. Crowley.
Banana. And that is when the demon truly took control.
Yes, because she saw it, and it was a picture of Horus, and he saw it as a grand sign that I think I've lost my feed.
Yeah, I've lost the feed. There we go. Now we're
fine. But we lost the he saw it as a grand sign because 666 was the number of the beast. The beast was his nickname. He had done something. Like, he had known a lot about different, like, you know, biblical philosophies. But at the time, he was heavily Buddhist. He was still interested in magical practices, but he largely believed in Buddhism. He was really into Hinduism. And from there, he began summoning Thoth, the Egyptian goddess of knowledge, and like talking to Thoth, and Thoth is sitting there, and Thoth is like, I don't know what to do about you. And then eventually Horus appeared to him, and then his secretary spoke the Book of Law into his brain, and then he wrote it down. And the idea, and that's what he was saying, because he was... The Book of Law is this incredibly obscene book about, like, you know, that's where the whole philosophy of do what thou wilt is the whole of the law comes
from.
Oh,
I thought it was going to be more double penetration.
It is. It is.
Well, double penetration works into do what thou wilt. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Do what thou wilt is just like get your fuck on.
Yeah,
right.
Constantly.
It's do whatever you want.
And then Anton LaVey took that and moved that into modern American Satanism, which is the idea of, like, we're all lone wolves and you respect each other's kingdom, where it's like, you have your kingdom and you must, like, respect mine, and as I respect yours, you walk on my land, I can destroy you, like, type stuff.
Sure. But Ted, like, Nugent logic.
Ted Nugent logic.
Right.
Which is hilarious if you think about it. So it's like, imagine the Book of Law as his cat scratch fever.
Sure. The biggest hit he's ever had.
Biggest hit coming out
of
the gate.
People
love
it.
Huge.
Yeah. Really big stuff. But yeah, and then he was really upset about it because apparently what he had to do was he talked to Horus, and it's like, I'm going to deliver you this important
14 wishbones.
Like,
number
literally.
One, Horus loves his wishbones.
Like, you have to sit in this room and for 1 hour a day, and I'm going to read to you this book. You're going to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he wrote it all down. He was sickened by what he wrote. And then afterwards, he was supposed to hole himself up. He was supposed to give up everything and translate it into every single language in the world. But
that's a lot,
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, too much
And as we've now learned about Aleister Crowley is that He gets tired of work because there's not enough fucking involved.
Right.
There's not enough, like, doing drugs.
He's probably given up on some orgies because it was too difficult to do.
Oh, absolutely. He's just like, I can't be fucking all night. Sometimes I got to do some cocaine.
That's right.
You know? And so it's like he went and...
loved cocaine.
Well, they all did.
We'll get into more cocaine
later.
It was
like
cocaine was sort of the oxycodone or the prescription drug of the time.
Yeah, yeah. It was like the Advil. Yeah. Everyone was doing cocaine.
Everyone needed it.
One of my favorite lines from Crowley is someone asked him why he wrote the Book of Law, and he said, to peck out the eyes of Christ on the cross.
And they're like, whoa, buddy, you're spitting all over me.
Yeah, that's insane.
Alistair, will you please stop yelling?
Yeah, and so at this time, he really started to gain a lot of followers, and he started getting people that were fanatically devoted to him.
You just have to say the nuttiest shit. Right.
Yeah.
Let's just start doing it. Let's just tell people that we talk to angels and shit. Like, it's like, I really think that if I write my own book, say I met one of the reptilians, and the reptilians told me that I need to be on a big-time ABC network sitcom.
You would have to get that sitcom, though.
No. They'll give me one.
Oh, okay. They're just going to throw it right your way?
Yeah, called Reptilian and Me.
I think it's key that you have success before, and then you credit the alien or demon beast afterwards. Because if you end up failing, no one's going to buy that book, because they know that you're not telling the truth.
Yeah, and just me hanging out with this 15-foot reptile all the fucking live long.
That's wild, which sounds really fun.
No, they're boring.
What?
Yeah, they just sit there and going, yeah, I got it.
You get stoned and just look at him, though, and just hear what he's saying.
Yeah. And it will be kind of, everything will just be funny in context of hanging out with him.
Yeah, you probably have to clean up a little reptilian
poo-poo.
Yeah,
I played 6
though.
Hours playing Jenga last night, but I did it with Clackcore.
Ah, Clackcore.
For fucking
is that your reptilian friend?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How is he at Jenga?
He's horrible.
Oh, yeah, because of the big reptilian hands.
Yeah, we can't get through a fucking game. He just
smashes
his hands through it.
Have you thought about not playing Jenga with him? Or
I don't know. He keeps bringing out the box.
Have you played Clue? I think Clue is a fun game.
Oh, no. He didn't even start when we try to play Clue. He ate all the pieces. Okay. The board put the cat on his head. He was like, I'm Alistair Crowley.
Oh, that's insane.
With a board on his head like a big triangle.
Well, I'm happy you don't bring him
like,
over here anymore.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
worst kegger of our life.
Out of Crowley's followers, one of the most devoted was possibly Victor Neuberg, who Victor was actually in love with Crowley, like not just sexually, but emotionally in love with him. He was a poet. He was a soft soul, and Crowley took advantage
for fucking ass plundering.
Oh God!
This is, what's his name? From Big Lebowski.
Donnie?
Yeah, Donnie. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Victor!
He's him hanging around, just like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. So, what'd you say?
So Crowley convinced Neuberg to travel with him.
Neuberg sounds like you know how you have a friend growing up that like everybody hates?
Yeah.
They hate him, but he's still around because you have to have someone in the group that you hate?
Yeah.
That's Neuberg.
It sounds like he was the only guy at the time that had a pocket protector with like clicky pens. And they're like, where are those
stop
from?
Clicking your pens, Neuberg!
They're not
I'm trying
even
to commune
yet.
With thoughts!
So they traveled to Algeria together, to the Sahara Desert, to perform Enochian magic. Like, Enochian magic.
Oh, yeah, the Book of Enoch, which is the Dead Sea Scrolls, where this is where they believe that it's revealed the true esoteric knowledge of the Bible. The Book of Enoch was supposedly found in clay jars out there in the 1950s, and it's probably horseshit.
Well, it's a system.
Like, literally horseshit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Enochian magic is a system of ceremonial magic based on the evocation and commanding of various spirits. It's based on the 16th century writings of Dr. John Dee, who we could do an entire fucking episode on John Dee. Have you ever heard of John Dee?
No.
Woo, Lord. I ain't going to get into him much here, but go home and research him. You got a new hero to find, buddy.
What's his D-E-E?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great lawnmower joke. There it is.
No,
great,
he was
great. He makes a great lawnmower. Kind
does
of a John,
he? What?
John Deere joke. John
no,
Deere.
No, but that would be if his name was John Deere.
John Deere, right. That's why I didn't say the joke.
No, his name's John Dee.
I know. That's why I didn't say the joke.
So it's a lawnmower joke?
That was the joke, but I didn't say the joke.
I just, you know, it's just really rare when you, like, really just get up into, a lawnmower
joke.
Bit. Like a lawnmower
right. I just snapped
material.
Right into
like, you're going to segue into your 15 minutes of lawnmower bit?
I have some funny lawnmower bits. I do have some funny.
Can you go into them like your normal conversation? Hey, Ben, ma'am, lawnmowers.
Right? I mean, it's just weird because you ride them. And then they're cutting all your grass.
Yeah.
You imagine if you could you know, and the funny thing about it is the way it doesn't have a punchline, you just trail off. The punchline there is, So that's comedy. Nonetheless, I did not do that joke. So, yeah. Okay, continue, Marcus.
Back to Neuberg.
John D.
So they went to
Neuberg!
They're going out there to practice Enochian magic, so they're going out there to summon a spirit.
Who erased my Skyrim game? Who erased my fucking
Neuberg!
Skyrim?
Neuberg!
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Alice. No, I love you.
Oh, man. So they walked for 2 days straight. In the Sahara Desert, walk for 2 days straight, completely disoriented, and that's when Crowley thinks it's a good idea to bring out the hash and the mescaline.
Hell
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely,
it's
a good idea.
And so the demon...
God, I wish I could have hung out with this guy.
I know, he's like a rich, spoiled kid who has the greatest thoughts.
Oh, man.
That's all you want to do is hang
Except
out with this guy.
Except when it starts to turn to raping you.
Sure, sure. Well, that's just one of the side effects of friendship.
Well, the demon that they're wanting to summon is named Coronzon. And Coronzon, essentially to occultists in the...
He's the demon in charge of bad ice cream.
Oh, young. I hate blueberry ice cream. Oh, that's Coronzon.
Oh, okay. So Coronzon is to the writings of like John Dee and Enochian magicians, Coronzon is essentially Satan.
Cool.
Like he
oh,
is,
what was? Do you remember the name of the other demon you were talking about too? That was like the sort of the prototype for
Baphomet.
Satan? Not Baphomet. The other, the he's not. It's like Hall. It's like I.
Oh,
like,
Baal.
Yeah, Baal.
Yeah.
Baal.
Yeah. B A A L. Baal.
Okay.
Yeah. So Coronzon is essentially created by Edward Kelly and John Dee. They said that they've, you know,
summoned the image
these
of
people.
Baphomet has been perverted. That is just a symbol of balance.
Yes, exactly.
What's the original image?
It's a balance. It's hands one arm up, one arm down. It's a symbol of balance. He's got the goat head.
Uh-huh.
That's just because of he's modeled after the reptilians with their horned heads. Same thing with the fleur-de-lis. That's why you see the fleur-de-lis and all these symbols of British royalty and French royalty, because that is an extrapolation of the original tri-horned heads of our reptilian overlords.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. So so the point of Coronzon...
I mean, it's just words at this point.
The point of Coronzon, like what he does is that he is there to destroy the ego, which is a big thing that Crowley was all about, which I'll get more into
Very
that
later. Very interested
lady.
Also like about like MK Ultra, same exact thing. Like same principle. No, I'm not. That's not even.
No, it is the same, exact same principle.
Yeah. And it's it allows the person to move beyond the abyss and to become part, like become one with the universe and not use
get
the
in
word
the goop.
I. Mm-hmm. Get in the goop. Absolutely. Get in the goop.
I call it getting in the goop.
Getting in there.
Hey,
yeah.
Guys, get in the goop. With. Goop's war.
Yep. Goop's nice.
And so he starts the first words of the ritual. It's essentially opening the gates of hell. You're asking the gates of hell to open.
Yeah.
And how do you ask them?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the words? That-
I don't have the words. Okay. No.
Do you know that Aleister Crowley also invented the term abracadabra?
That's no, abracadabra from, is an old term.
Well, he used it in ritual.
Yeah. But it definitely predates him.
Abracadabra, bitches.
And so what he did, him and Neuberg, they drew a circle of protection. Of course, if you've seen any fucking occult movie,
right.
You've seen a circle of protection.
Circle of protections are made to be broken.
Yeah,
and also Ashley Brooke Roberts. Did their circle of protection against the coyote demons.
That's right. Right. If you recall our D-celebrity ghost
too
stories.
Much weed. So he draws the circle of protection around Neuberg, but not around himself.
Neuberg, you're going to be all right. You're don't even fine. Worry about this,
I want
Neuberg.
The circle.
Don't even worry about it. I got this handled, buddy.
Yeah.
This is not about... I'm cool. I want to be hurt. You're going to be fine.
Okay. And so after the ritual, or actually during the rituals, fucking Crowley becomes absolutely... He just gets horny as fuck.
Sure.
Just gets super
now, probably
fucking
the
horny.
Because
I would
the whole thing is him just fucking rubbing himself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's just, you know, but that's like a lot of it. A lot of it's like, he does it because it makes him horny.
He's tripping
balls.
Yeah.
He can fucking rub his dick on a cactus and he'll still be like, ooh, yeah.
Now
I bet someone horny this cactus has got some snapping pussy for me to fuck.
That's right. Crowley's the only man who could make a cactus come. That's for damn sure. I've heard that.
And so Crowley gets down on all fours and then forces Neuberg, well, not really forces him, but still has Neuberg fuck him.
Do me, Neuberg!
Do me good!
Do me for magic!
Do my god!
And
fall
this,
into me.
And this is how evil.
Fall into me, yeah. Baby.
Yeah, I think that's the premise of that song.
It's a commentary.
I would respect Dave Matthews so much if that was the premise of that song. Just getting brutally butt-fucked by a fellow Satanist.
How many times I made out with my high school girlfriend to this song and be like, you know, this song's about two Satanists butt-fucking.
Yeah. Oh, tell me more about it, Henry, but like, never talk to me again. That's good. Oh, that's good.
Well, this is how evil and fucked up and terrible Aleister Crowley is. He destroyed Neuberg as a bottom.
Okay, so
he didn't.
He was a power
bottom. He was not the one fucking Neuberg. Neuberg was.
He was fucking making it clap like Shakira.
That's right.
Neuberg went mad. Went absolutely fucking insane after this.
Sucked his balls up inside his asshole with some furious power bottom.
I'll never come again.
Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, you like it, you like it, you like it, you like it.
I don't think so.
And he's Neuberg shouting his own name.
Neuberg, what are you doing to yourself? God, I can't get out.
He came his entire family ancestry into Crowley's
one
asshole.
One shot.
Oh. Your eyes are Crowley. See, there's a cigarette.
I felt
better.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah,
he's all completely drained. He's like 8 pounds.
Yeah, gibbering to himself. And he's just like, you know, you could have played with my balls a lot more.
Yeah. I guess I got to get a new Neuberg.
And so at this point, of course, he has completely abandoned Rose Kelly, his first wife. And sure.
How do you go back after Neuberg?
Yeah.
After destroying someone with your own ass.
Alistair, your butt looks different.
Yeah, I know, because my butt is my fucking boss.
That's
yeah.
right. No, I ended a man's life with his ass.
Pat, 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 pat.
Okay. And they had a daughter, but the daughter died at like 2 or 3. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Died of typhoid.
Ah, hey, man, you know, to be expected. No love lost there. Also, I imagine he was pretty much, I mean, like, he probably barely saw the daughter in between all the fucking mescaline and power bottoming he was doing.
Yeah.
It didn't really matter.
Get a little circle around that girl. Protect her a little bit. Come on, be a good dad.
And so this is when he decides that he is going to create his own commune, his own place where he can do anything he wants, do the most wickedest shit after, you know, this is after
he hasn't met, because John Travolta hasn't been born yet. Right. He can't use his proper power bottoming for the power of good.
Indeed. Travolta was the only man that could have stopped Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, I think John Travolta is the only man whose furious butt pumping could have broken Aleister Crowley's amazing swirl technique.
Yes, how does the swirl technique go? What do you have to do with your anus?
You make that noise and you literally spin in a circle on a guy's dick. You like, you stick, the guy sticks his dick in
right.
you, right?
You grip your legs.
Like, we grip it with your balls, right? And then you, independent, you raise up your legs while your butt is just being suspended by holding yourself up by his fucking
now, does
hard
he
dick.
Spin
right?
you or you start,
no, no, you, you use your own butt muscles to spin you rotisserie style on top of the guy's dick. Like, spin yourself slowly, faster, 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 until he comes brain matter.
Yeah, the English call it the Bobby.
The Bobby, the old Boston market technique. I like it. I think that sounds super fun.
The Commonwealth Tornado.
So Crowley marries another woman. Her name is Leah Herzig. And she is completely and totally devoted to him. She was quoted as saying, "I will work for wickedness. I will kill my heart.
I just need to meet these girls."
That's right. Well, you're going to have to get that butt muscle strengthened.
And so they go and they go to
where all of his incredible power bottoming is lost on these women.
That's right.
And he starts in
Italy. I
can
suck her own vagina up inside my ass.
I wonder if he actually ever did that.
God, how could a man making a woman come with his asshole?
Hey, Alistair, can I have my pussy back?
I think you got a new Murder Fist sketch.
Yeah, dude.
So they moved to the Abbey of Thelema in Italy, where it was a bunch of people. They did, I mean, nothing but hash, opium, and cocaine. They had a dog named Satan.
That's the best name for a dog.
This is the fucking best.
There now, are children.
Was the town called Thelema?
No, Thelema was the
name.
Was the
religion?
That was the religion. Okay. Yeah. Although he was always reticent to call it a religion. It was more of a guideline. He didn't
a
like the word.
Power bottoming school.
Yeah, it's more of a thing I say to dudes so they fuck me in my ass like really hard.
There were children there too. Crowley's child was there. They were allowed to wander anywhere.
The child's name was Dog.
Interesting.
And there was disease everywhere.
Oh, amen.
So much disease.
Yep.
And I watched a guide, not really a guided tour, but it was a video tour of this guy who was kind of an explorer, a Crowley historian. And the place still stands. It's for sale right now.
Oh, my God.
It still stands.
I always never get the cool shit in my life.
Yeah. It's still in much of the same condition because Crowley had.
And what's
something,
the location of this place?
This is Italy.
Italy.
Yeah. And he had something.
I hate to mince anything words. I know that this is like a historical place. But there is some poo-poo stains on like most of the flooring.
And the whole place seems like possessed with like moving butts. So I don't know.
I'm not really sure. There's all these butt-shaped holes in the walls.
Weird.
This is weird.
He had a place called the Nightmare Room.
What happened there?
In the Nightmare Room, he would have his disciples sit and stare at the paintings that he had done on the wall, mostly pornographic paintings.
Cool.
And let me tell you, they are fucking rad as shit.
You saw them?
Yeah. Yeah. They're fucking, they're so fucking
Man,
cool.
Man, that's awesome!
And there are paintings of Satan and, like, children on the wall. And there's also some great graffiti. Check out this graffiti. Stab your Demetic Stab your demonic smile to my brain. Soak me in cognac and cocaine.
Yes!
I love that.
Yes! I want that on my fucking tombstone.
Thomas...
my God, we missed our time period.
And then...
That's when we should have been alive. We would be so good then. That's where we were supposed to be. We would be kicking ass.
And then right...
ass and kicking ass.
And then right below that, it just said, fuck Leah. His wife.
That's great.
Which
I
don't know.
It wasn't like a negative thing, or it was more of just a
command.
Yeah.
Fuck Leah.
I don't want to fuck her. You know me, because I like it when you guys fuck me all the
time. Fuck Leah. Do it.
Yeah.
And here is where he went a little bit too far.
Oh, that's weird. It just seems like, you know, when you break a man with your fucking sphincter muscles.
Sure.
That, like, what is too far?
Well, this is where he went too far.
It's when he went into his disco phase. And
he started liking bad music.
Yeah.
And he
hated
also,
that part of him.
And also, like, working into, before we get to how he went too far, working with his Corazon ritual earlier, is that anyone who used the word I, he made them cut themselves.
Cool.
Every time they said it.
Yeah, because it's all about community, right? And, like, it's oneness with nature and shit.
Exactly.
Like that.
And this is
so
what.
So we must go take a shit then. Interesting.
And this is what got them kicked out of Italy by Mussolini, by the way.
It's hard to get kicked out of Italy if you realize the future holds bunga bunga rooms.
That's right, bunga bunga rooms. And you would think Mussolini would have liked him, but I think Mussolini looked into the eyes of Aleister Crowley, saw a similar evil, and could not deal with such competition.
Yeah. Well, this is the rumor that started to get him kicked out. There was an actual incident that got him completely kicked out. This was the thing
he took Mussolini's cock into his ass.
He
that's what really turned him
Someone
into a tyrant.
Someone spilled red wine all over Italy. Horrible stains.
He took his wife. He got a goat. He made the goat fuck his wife.
Yeah.
And at the time of orgasm, cut the goat's throat.
Cool.
Yeah. I actually don't hate that. I thought it was going to hate it more. The time of the goat's orgasm or the wife's orgasm?
All he knows is that we've already seen, we talked about the case.
So his wife came to the goat.
Yeah.
The big thing is that we already have seen in modern times the guy volunteered to have his penis cut off, cooked, and eaten.
Right.
Yeah.
That is much worse just having a goat fuck something.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
that's normal almost.
This is what got him caught, though. This is what,
always too far.
Mm-hmm. Not the goat. The goat is not what got him caught. What got caught
is he put
it
on a primitive YouTube, which is just having people act it out theatrically in the Times Square.
There was a man named Ralph Lundy who came there with
Always a
Ralph. Came there with his wife, and he died after drinking cat blood.
Oh, well, that he did it wrong.
Weak. Yeah.
And so his wife left the commune, went straight to the press, and this is when Crowley got the moniker "the wickedest man in the world."
Oh, one day. Uh-huh. One day they'll call me the wickedest man in the world.
You'll get it.
Oh,
and then after that, Crowley abandoned Leah. She became a prostitute.
I mean, after you fucking go, there's really nowhere else to go.
Most everyone else in the commune.
Because it's all anybody wants to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, I've done one big commercial. Every single time he was like, oh, Mayor Dennis is a water cooler. You know, if you fuck a goat.
Yeah. Oh, or do you smell like Old Spice? That's interesting. You know, I was in an Old Spice commercial.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's cool. I had my wife get fucked by a goat.
Hey, that's Leah goat fucker.
Interesting.
It's an old joke, but a great one.
Do you think that made her prices go up as a prostitute, or do you think that
she definitely had that sort of recognizability factor?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're the goat fucker, right?
She's a goat fucker.
Suck your dick for $1,000.
All right, goat fucker. All
right. And so after this, this is when Crowley started to go completely downhill. He became.
I just feel like all of these things. Like, I don't know when he wasn't going downhill, and I don't know when he wasn't the wickedest person in the world.
I just think now he was just kind of sad.
Mm. Yeah,
he just wanted things to work out a little bit more fun. He lost his smile.
Yeah, he got addicted to heroin, and then
it's always heroin. Heroin's so stupid.
Yeah, it's the worst. And so, and then there was a court
Henry's
case.
Good message, anti-drug message for the day, kids. Don't be like Aleister Crowley. Lay off the smack.
And then he tried to sue a writer for libel in order to get some money because he was broke. The writer described him as a black magician. And then the same fucking woman who ratted him out in Italy brought evidence against him, saying that, like, yes, he did call himself a black magician. Crowley lost it, went bankrupt, but after the trial, a woman named Deirdre McKellen, she approached him, said that she adored him. Mm. They married, they did a magical sun ritual, they had a child, his name, Alistair Ataruk.
That's amazing.
Isn't that sweet?
And then in his diaries, you can read, that is when Crowley knew love for the very first time.
Oh, that's so nice.
But the kid did not really agree. He changed his name to Randall Gare and died in a car accident in 2002.
That's fine.
But what? Aleister Crowley...
That's a regular fucking Sleepless in Seattle moment. His whole life goes, and then all of a sudden, he's Tom Hanks with a Meg Ryan right next to him.
And at the end, he did not repent as a sinner, but he did repent as saying, like, my life was a waste. He's like, I have ended with nothing.
So wrong.
I have been, everything that I've done has been stupid.
What are you talking about? He was the world's best power bottom before Freddie Mercury.
Right.
And he's got it made.
Freddie Mercury pales in comparison.
And right before he died, you know how they knew he knew the end was near?
He power bottomed the Empire State Building.
He wrote in his diary, quote, weak erection.
Isn't that sad?
God, what a miserable end. That's just the saddest thing in the world.
We'll get into more Aleister Crowley at a later
date. We'll do it
date.
In the future. We're going to do Hermetic Order of Golden Dawn, especially now. I want to start leading some magic rituals. If you live in the NYC area, we're going to get together and start doing them together. We're going to meet Baphomet. It's going to be awesome. We'll buy some pizzas.
The pizzas might be a draw.
I think the pizza's the biggest draw.
Yeah, most
pizza.
Likely.
I like pizza.
All right. That's Marcus Parks.
Hi.
I am Ben. Hello.
Heil Geen. Heil me.
That's Enra Zabrowski.
I am Aleister Crowley's grandson.
What? You are?
Power bottom to the stars.
Oh, my God. Can we see your anus?
Oh, yes. I have power bottom at all.
He's just took in the entire room right inside of his butt.
Ooh.
We're recording right now inside of Aleister Crowley's grandson's asshole. It smells better than the actual room we usually record in.
I'm having an orgasm.
All right, Magustalations. We'll talk to you.
Magustalations.